Today is our Hakdama to the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, which we saw appears in two different sections in Sefer Devarim for the first two parashios. We have Shema, which will include Shema and Ve'ahavta as one parasha in Perek Dalet, and then we have Vahaya in Perek Yud Aleph, and then we've got our extra bonus feature of Vayomer, which is the parasha of Tzitzis, which we're going to just mention very briefly, but that's not the focus for today. So the Gemara in Yuma Yud Tesamid Beis, just to connect afternoon Seder to morning Seder, Yuma Yud Tesamid Beis has a comment, V'dibarta bum v'lo b'tfila. So what exactly does that mean, vidibarta bum velo betfila? So Rashi says that vidibarta, you should speak, meaning the implication is you should speak it loudly, bum in Kriya Shema, but not in tefila, because tefila is belachash. Tosfos says, no, I don't think that's the pshat. No. He thinks, rather, Nirali bum shoel mepnei hayira umesh mepnei hakavod, which is the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel, velo b'tfila, because in tefila there is no justification for interrupting at all. That's the first drasha that the Gemara gives you from v'dibarta bum. Bum is referring to a Kriya Shema. However, in the Hemshech of the Gemara has another drasha, v'dibarta bum velo b'dvar machirim. And therefore, a person who is sach sichas chulin, is involved in, you know, meaningless conversation over ba'asei, they violate the asei of not vidibarta bam. And here Rashi says, vidibarta bam bedivrei Torah. So you get the impression from this Gemara in Yuma that there are two ways to understand the reference of vidibarta bam. Vidibarta bam could be referring to the psukim which precede it, which are related to the themes or the theme of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, Avas Hashem, or it could be related to Torah more generally. V'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta bam, that refers to Torah more generally. So, with this background, these two ways of understanding the antecedent, the reference of v'dibarta bam, we can think about understanding the nature of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. We'll hold that in the background for the moment, okay? Mar Yuma Yud Tesamid Beis. When you just open up the psukim and you see how the sivui of Shema is given, you notice right off the bat that it's given in an unusual framework. Usually, the Gemara tells us, Mishnah tells us in Megillah, that there are mitzvos, which are time-bound, that have particular frames. You have the day frame and the night frame. You know, halachically, elsewhere, we could call those onos, right? There is daytime and there is nighttime. So there are daytime mitzvos and there are nighttime mitzvos. But that's not the way the Gemara understands the beginning of Brachos, the way that Kriya Shema is meant to be, based on the description of the Psukim, that Kriya Shema is meant to be recited b'shachbacha uvekumecha, when you are sleeping and when you wake up. So the Gemara has specific drushes to ascertain that those are not exactly the same. It's not just when you start to go to sleep, it's when you are sleeping and then when you wake up, which is why Kriya Shema at night extends a lot longer than in the morning. But that is an interesting misgeret that we're not accustomed to. Why is the zman? We have to establish some kind of zman, a new zman. It's not a zman of yom and laila. It's a zman of b'shachbacha and b'kumecha. So the Gemara has to take pains to figure out, and that's going to be the first discussion in Siman Ches. Well, what are those zmanim? But the idea that we have a new zman of Kriya Shema, why is this zman ha-mitzvah different? It's also noteworthy that this frame of b'shachbacha uv'kumecha is in the context of b'sheftecha b'veisecha b'lechtecha v'aderech. So the Gemara has other drushas to teach you something from those things, but this, it's omer dorshini. That's number one. Number two, as you saw, there is a machlokas between the Rishonim, how many mitzvos are at hand in the topic of Kriyat Shema. Right, the Ramban, we saw the Ramban insists that these are two different mitzvos, whereas the Rambam insisted that this is one mitzvah, and the Rambam told us that even though, right, in that essay in the Sharashim in Yud Aleph, the Rambam told us that even though it happens to be that these are not ma'akvusus, so a person didn't recite Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis, they still recite Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, and vice versa, but it's inyan echad. It's one inyan. And this is developed in that piece in the Rav Yerucham Fishel Perlau, where he, you know, goes further in the Shittas Rishonim, whether it's one mitzvah or two mitzvahs. But if it's one mitzvah, why is it that it's done twice a day? If it's one mitzvah, you would expect it to be done once a day. One mitzvah, one kiyum. So why is it done twice? Furthermore, the Rambam, in the formulation of this mitzvah, right in the first word, the Rambam says, Pa'amayim b'chol yom korim kriyat shema. And then he says, Be'erev uvavoker. Well, if you're going to read it, Be'erev uvavoker, you know that that's pa'amayim. The Rambam apparently thinks that it's important to emphasize the opening line here is Pa'amayim b'chol yom korim kriyat shema. It's not Chayav Odom Likros Kriyashma Be'erev Uvaboker. It's Pa'amayim. It's twice a day. And that is because Shene'amar Uveshach B'chol V'kumecha B'shah Shederach B'nei Odom Shokvim, when people are lying, V'zehu Laila, and that means Laila Uveshah Shederach B'nei Odom Omdim, when they get up, V'zehu Yom. So what's the pshat in the fact that this is a mitzvah which has these two parts? Okay. Two questions? Clear so far? Two ha'aros? Yes? So far so good? Great. The third way we can think about this is when we look at what we are actually doing when we recite Kriyat Shema, we can think of it also in two different ways. We can understand that the recitation of these words, of this particular text, is a fulfillment of one theme, and that is the theme of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, which is the impression that you get in the Gemara in Daf Chaf Amud Beis, when the Gemara discusses the Ptur for Nashim, Ma'u Detema Hoel V'Isba Malchus Shamayim. And that's what Rashi on Chaf Heyam and Aleph in Dibur Maskil De'is emphasizes. Where is it? De'is batarti yitzias mitzrayim umalchus shamayim. That the main kiyum from the main section of Shema is kabbalas umalchus shamayim. And as a consequence of Kriyat Shema being a kiyum of kabbalas umalchus shamayim, it's going to have specific requirements, which is exactly what the Rashba, the Halakha Rashba, and Yud Gimel Amud Beis in the thicket of how to determine whether or not mitzvah tzrichas kavana or not, based on the Mishnah of in kivin libo or not, and the question of what is the psak of the Rambam, and that whole discussion, the Rashba says you should know this is not really a traditional case of mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Mitzvah tzrichas kavana is if you do something and you lack the intent to fulfill the Ribon Shalom's ratzon, the tzivui, so maybe you get the credit or maybe you don't. Here it's something else entirely. Here the whole mahus of Kriyat Shema is a personal acceptance of the Ribono Shel Olam's dominion over the world, his unity, Yichud Hashem, a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. Those are essentially feelings, thoughts, attitudes, beliefs. So it's not a question of mitzvah srichas kavana when it comes to the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema. If a person isn't thinking, I have this commitment, so then they haven't thought the commitment. The ikar is essentially the kavana salev. The dibur is just the hechetimtza. And this is true elsewhere in halacha. But certainly, if you understand that Kriya Shema is a din in Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, it makes sense. That's option A. Option B is that Kriya Shema is a kiyum of Talmud Torah. The Yerushalmi, you saw the Yerushalmi, that one opinion is you don't stop learning for Kriya Shema, having nothing to do with Daraisa Drabanan, Zeshinun V'Zeshinun. This is Limud, and that's Limud. So it's all Talmud Torah. Kriya Shema is simply a kiyum of Talmud Torah. There, that was in the beginning of the Yerushalmi, there in Halacha Gimel, the Yerushalmi in Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel, the Yerushalmi asks the same question as our Gemara about the Petura of Nashim, and the Yerushalmi does not say it's because it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. The Yerushalmi says the reason why Nashim are patur is because v'limadatim osam es b'neichem, b'neichem v'lo b'noseichem. Which is the source in our Gemara in Kiddushin for the Petura of Nashim from Talmud Torah. So the Yerushalmi thinks, this is exactly the diak of the Karen Orah. I don't know how many people went through the whole long piece, the beginning of Brachos and the Karen Orah, the Heliga Karen Orah, Reb Yitzchak, what was his last name? Bunchin? Bruchin. 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 Reb Yitzchak Bruchin. I just learned his last name for the first time last week. But we never refer to him by his last name. We always say Reb Yitzchak of Karlin, the brother of Mishkanus Yankov. So the long essay there, in the beginning of his Karen Orah and Brachos, so the Karen Orah and Os Yud Zayin points out this fantastic diuk in the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi should have said it's mitzvah seichel shema grama, but it does not. Instead, it says it's a diuk Talmud Torah. And we know from other places in Shas that the Gemara assumes that Kriya Shema serves as a kiyum of Talmud Torah, which is why the Gemara Menachos, when it's discussing the issue of Tadir and the baseline requirement for a person's kiyum of Talmud Torah, the Gemara says, oh, well, at least you could be mekayim your mitzvah of Talmud Torah v'hagisa bo yomam v'layla through Kriya Shema Shachris v'arvis. Now, whether or not that's a good public policy to share with people is a debate, but as a matter of principle, Kriya Shema is your kiyum of Talmud Torah, the Gemara says. And similarly, that's the assumption of the Gemara in the Dharma Daf Ches, where the Gemara says, where the guy says, he's Nishba Lahashkim, but the Gemara says, don't worry, you're already Mekayim, your mitzvah of Talmud Torah, with Kriya Shema, Shachris V'Arvis. It also makes sense why, if a person missed Kriya Shema in the morning, so they recite Kriya Shema, the Gemara says, the rest of the day, yeah, it's not exactly the same thing, it's not Kriya Bezmano, but there's still Schar Kriya you still have, well, it's just Kriya Shema as Talmud Torah, which seems to be one long continuum from the Ikar Chiyuv. So, is it Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, or is it Talmud Torah? The answer is, of course, it's both. And perhaps this is one way to think about it. Kriya Shema, which is a person's verbal acknowledgement of being a Nivra from the Ribbono Shel Olam, of Oved Hashem as a Jew, that is essentially the greatest expression of a Jew, of a human being. That's the person's mahus. Our entire being, we should consider ourselves as one big journey of pursuit, of fulfillment, of cheftza, of being in the service of Hashem. Our goal is to constantly be committed to and in the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam, who put us here for a reason, with a mission. And so, perhaps the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is really meant to frame a person's entire existence. Here's a mashal. B'derech mashal, only. You know, Tosa says in Brachos on Yud Aleph Amid Beis, in Dibra Maschil Mikvar, that if a person recited Birchas HaTorah in the morning, there's no need to recite Birchas HaTorah in the afternoon. They went to work, they ate lunch, they took a nap, they did lots of things. Tosa says, no, you're covered by your original Birchas HaTorah. Why? So Tosa says, Shaini Torah, She'enu miyayish daito, to call Shah Adam Mechuyav Lomod, V'agisa bo yom v'layla, V'havi Yoshev kol hayom below hefsik. That's Tosas Yud Aleph on the base. Vahave, excuse me, Kemo Yoshev Kol Hayom below Hefsek. So since a person is meant to be constantly focused on and aware of learning, so the fact that they are temporarily distracted with some other immediate need doesn't take away from the fact that Be'etzem, they're really thinking about Torah all the time. If this is true for Talmud Torah generally, so of course, al achas kama v'kama, how that is obvious, that needs to be the case for a person's overall orientation toward life, that they are an Ovid Hashem, that they're committed to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that they are Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim. So perhaps what the Torah is doing is giving us a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is specifically choosing segments of Talmud Torah, which are highlighting and expressing Kabbalas Al Malchus Shamayim, and it's giving it to us in a way, in a frame of reference that is guiding our entire life. From the moment you wake up in the morning, from that moment until when you go to sleep, because it's about you. It's about how you live your life. It's about me. It's about a person. It's about a human being. It's not an abstract chiyuv that exists, you know, in some time frame that I need to either tap into or not tap into. Like, what if I get on a plane and I skip the day in Australia? So it's not separate from me. It's within my rhythm of my personal life. I'm always oriented to, so I woke up, so the first thing I do is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. How do you do Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim? Through Talmud Torah. And when I go to sleep, it's the same thing. So it would make sense, therefore, that it's not a din in Yom and Laila. If you look in the beginning of the Chayadam gives you a list of the Sheish Mitzvos Tamidios. So he says you could be sitting on a roller coaster and you could still be Mekayim a mitzvah by thinking the Sheish Mitzvos Tamidios. Because these mitzvos, they are perpetual mitzvos that you can always tap into. So perhaps the purpose of Kriya Shema is to orient us to constantly be thinking in that frame of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim all day. This also would make sense why the two times a day forms one mitzvah. So it's not exactly the same, but al derech mashal, there is a long discussion to be had about a mitzvah called the Chavite Kohen Gadol. Now the Chavite Kohen Gadol are a little bit different because there it's actually one dough, which is being parsed into two doughs, so it actually started as one unit and deliberately being split in half. But leaving that distinction and other distinctions aside, b'derech mashal, the structure of the Kohen Gadol, who is the most intensely focused religious figure, who's a person who's kol kulo mukdash to Avodas Hashem, who is almost like the personification of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. He starts his day in the morning with the beginning of his karban, and he finishes the day with the other half of the karban, because he's one long servant of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's be'emtza avoda the whole day. So there are lots of nafkamina from this, in addition to the structure of the karban itself, the relationship between the big day kahuna of a kohen hedyo to the big day kahuna of the kohen gadol vis-a-vis shatnes. But the idea that you have two bookends, two frames. And in Kriya Shema, it's even sharper than the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol is in the context of the Avodah. So it's when you start the Avodah and when you finish the Avodah. For Kriya Shema, it's not about a particular place where you're doing a service. It's about your whole life. When you wake up in the morning and when you go to sleep at night. So that's why the mashal to the Kohen Gadol, it's even more pervasive from the Kriya Shema perspective. Because Kriya Shema, it's not limited to a guy who happens to be a Kohen Gadol, who happens to be serving the Beis HaMikdash today. No, every Jew is always living a life that is bookended from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to sleep with Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. In light of this, if this is the idea that what the Torah gave us was a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, sheyesh bo kabbalas o malchus shamayim, and that limud, which needs to take place every morning and every night, that limud is what orients us with our kabbalas o malchus shamayim. That can help us understand the machlokes regarding the chiyuv of Kriyas Shema. Is that chiyuv a din d'oraisa, or is it din d'rabbanan? So you also the Gemara in Daf Chafal from Amud Aleph, where we have a machlokes about a case where a person safek kara Kriyas Shema or not. So the first day, which is Rav Yehuda, and on the side they point out it's Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, eino chozer v'korei. Why? Kriyas Shema d'rabbanan. The next opinion, Rabbi Elazar, no, safek kara Kriyas Shema chozer v'korei, because Kriyas Shema is d'oraisa. Great. So how do we paskin? So
the say.
That's the assumption. The assumption is the Kriyas Shema is d'oraisa, in contrast to the earlier. The Gemara does not say it. That's right. So the Rif paskins Kriyas Shema is d'oraisa because we paskin like Rabbi Elazar, and the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvos, and in Hilchos Kriyas Shema, the Rambam tells us that this is a din d'oraisa. Sefer Mitzvos, mitzvah achas, he likros Kriyas Shema pa'amayim b'yom, which is what we emphasized earlier. Great. The Arayim in Mitzvah Aseh, in Simon Reish Nun Beis, they all say Kriyas Shema is daraisa. That's the majority opinion of the Rishonim. Great. But Tosfos, you probably saw it, was on the Maamar Komos, I hope you saw it. Tosfos in Menachos, Mem Gimel, Amud Beis, Dibur Maaskel, Ve'ezu, he says, Asmachta. Similarly, Tosfos in Bava Kamma on Taf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, Dibur Maaskel, Ve'chein, makes a statement where he just takes it for granted in that case of the Summa that Kriyas Shema is only Drabanan. And we saw that also in the Rush. So, according to the Manda Amar, that Kriyas Shema is Drabanan, so what do you do with all these technical drashos of Shema B'chaloshon and Vahayu and Lebafreya, Satosis and Soto Lamed Beis Amed Beis? He's really stuck with this. He's not sure what to do with that. It's not such a good. Not such a good situation. All those Gemaras are all just smachtas, or you're going to say it's a machlokas asugya, so all those sugyas are alibi demanda amar that it's doraisa. It's difficult. Shagasari piles on and he says, I don't really understand the methodology or psak over here, because you're telling me we're pasking like Rabbi Lazar. That's Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas, one of the second generation Amoraim, a later student of Rabbi Yochanan, after Rav and Shmuel. So if you have a machlokes between Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, the Shagasari says, the math would dictate that you paskin like Shmuel over Rabbi Elazar, and you would paskin that it should be Drabanan. So why do all the majority, Rov Minyan and Binyan of the Rishonim, paskin like Rabbi Elazar? So based on everything we said earlier, that Kriyas Shema is a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, sheyesh bo kabbalas ol malchus shamayim, and that it bookends our entire day, we can understand, perhaps, this machlokas, at least the way the Shagasari is going to set it up. According to the Man Amar, who holds Kriyas Shema as doraisa, so there's a mitzvah to learn Torah every day with specifically the sugya of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, and then you get into each of the Rishonim, whether it's just the Pasuk Rishon, like it sounds like from Rashi, or like we saw the Pri Chodesh likes the idea that it's the first two parashios, or like it sounds like from many Rishonim, based on that Gemara, about Kavana, that it's the first parsha. Probably according to the Rambam, it's all three parashios. Whichever it is, whatever you're going to say is the D'oraisa Kiyum of these psukim of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, that's a kiyum of a kiyum. The Torah gives us this way of being mekayim this chiyuv, and to support this idea that it's a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, which is specifically the Torah, the d'oraisa chiyuv is just the part of Torah which is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. There's a really interesting diuk, perhaps, in the lashon of the Tosefta that the Rambam uses as the source for his din that it's Doraisa. The Tosefta here, the Rambam quotes the Tosefta, where was it? It was What is it?
The one of the
Yes. Gimel Aleph, right? Yes. Gimel Aleph. So the Tosefta has a fascinating language. Did you? I don't know if you noticed this. I should read it outside. Hold on. Hold on. Here we go. Kishem shenosna Torah keva likros shema, kach nosnu chachamim keva letfila. Anytime you have the word kishem, that's a bell ringer that there's a fundamental correlation here. What is, at least for the Rambam, the understanding of tefillah? Well, there is a general chiyuv to daven. Just the Chachamim honed in on a specific set of words that you should say to be makayim that din klali. Who did that? The Chachamim. They were koveya, meaning they fixed a specific set of words. You could have chosen thousands of words. They only specifically chose these ones. Kishem that the Chachamim did that. So, nasna Torah keva likro shema. What does that mean? Based on what we're saying, makes perfect sense. The Torah gave you a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, v'agisa b'yom v'layla. There are hundreds of thousands of psukim, of words, of letters. There are tons. And you're going to be mekayim that din of kriyas psukei ha-Torah all the time, in different psukim. But the Torah was kava. It shows a specific selection of those to fulfill your mitzvah of kriyas shema. The word kava, as a parallel to tefillah, is honing in and limiting and choosing and selecting and identifying just this as part of something larger. So in tefillah, there's a larger chiyuv of tefillah, and they gave you specific words. In the case of Kriyat Shema, there's a larger chiyuv of Talmud Torah. There's a larger corpus of Torah. There's a lot more Talmud Torah, and they specifically focused on this to be your kiyum of Kriyat Shema.
Doesn't it sound like from the Tosefta that's talking about this manim?
So we discussed this. I looked in the Lieberman. There wasn't so much to say about this. I think in the narrow sense, if you look at the next line, it's definitely talking about the Zmanim. But I think perhaps that
we could have drawn the same parallel from the Tefillah about text, like you said. Doesn't
it? Because it doesn't ever address.
Because it's talking about the Zmanim.
That's true. I hear. I still like the Lashon.
No, it's a good Lashon.
And I like the parallel. Because even if it's true vis-a-vis the Zmanim, that reflects something about the nature of the Chiyuv. So I agree with you, Noach and I talked about this, that the context here is the Tefillah. I still think that it's drawing on a similar model. And that's why this modem is going to be parallel, because they have something inherently connected. So maybe it's not as exciting, but yesh l'adam. So what about, according to the Manda Omar, that Kriya Shema is Durabanan, that was the Durabanan takana to choose these psukim, says the Shagas Aryeh, min haTorah, this is in Simen Aleph, min haTorah, there's a mitzvah to learn any Torah b'shach b'chov kumecha. The Rabbanan came along and they were misakin, these are the psukim that you should learn. Huge nafkamina from this, which is what he discusses about the Gemara in Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, about Safik Kara Kriya Shema and then Safik Amar Emes V'Yatziv. So the Tosfos here and all the Rishonim are trying to figure out what to do about the Safik and Emes V'Yatziv. Did you already say Shema? If you said Shema, didn't you get Yetzias Mitzrayim in Parashas Tzitzis? So no, maybe when it says Emes V'Yatziv, it also means the Parsha of Tzitzis. Or no, right? That's what going back and forth on. The Shagas Aryeh has an awesome Ha'ara. He says if a person learned when they got up in the morning, that was Yotzei, their Chiyuv Daraisa. So the Safik Kara Kriya Shema means they learned Daf Yomi in the morning, they just didn't say Shema. So, okay, so that formal requirement to recite these verses, that's only a Kiyum Darabanan. But now you don't have to go back and say all these drushas are totally out of place. Because Chazal are using them to formulate the mitzvah of Kriya somehow. It's not exactly super glad, but So another way of saying this, which is interesting to think about, is according to the Shagas Aryeh, it turns out that the machlokas arguably is not actually even so extreme between the mandama that's darabanan and one that is daraisa. It could be what really the argument is as to whether or not any learning constitutes kabbalas al malchus shamayim. It could be that what the Shagas Aryeh is really saying is that the manda amar that kriyas shema is daraisa is that when you learn, you're not necessarily being mekabel al malchus shamayim. So we have to give you a specific psukim to do that. According to the other mandama, it could be, no. Every time you learn, that act of Talmud Torah alone, learning Shar Shanoga Chasapara, that is Kabbalah Salam Alchus Shemayim. It fits with the Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha line, like, why would you need to learn Musar? You don't need a separate thing to tell you to be Mekabel Olam Alchus Shemayim. The fact that a person sits down and learns, that is Kabbalah Salam Alchus Shemayim. If you look in that essay from Rav Soloveitchik in the beginning of the Shiur Mosech Nishan of Sabah Lari, he has a bunch of different kiyumim of Kabbalah Salam Alchus Shemayim, aspects of Kabbalah Salam Alchus Shemayim, so Talmud Torah is one of them. So it could be that that's actually the machlokas between Kriyas Shema as Daraisa as Drabanan, is to what extent do you see any limud of Talmud Torah as Alchus Shemayim? That the Mandamar holds that's Drabanan is, any limud is Kabbalah Salam Alchus Shemayim. If that's how you frame your day, if you're a guy who gets up and goes to learn in the morning, first thing, and then goes to learn at night before they go to sleep, so you're a serious Jew. You're Makabal Olam Alchus Shemayim, obviously, from the way that you frame your day.
What are we defining as Kabbalah Olam Alchus Shemayim again?
So, it's a good question. The Rambam focuses Kabbalah Olam Alchus Shemayim primarily on Yichud Hashem. Then he extends it to Ahavaso Vitalmudo, Shehu Ha'ikar Hagadol Shehakol Talibo. Rav Soloveitchik in that drasha expands it to include Yetzias Mitzrayim, for example, right? He quotes Rav Chaim that he thinks that the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is a chelek of the Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. So it's not accidental that Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Utzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, so that would be included. So I don't know. I think it's interesting to think about which of those is essential to Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. Like, is just Pasuk Rishon, according to Manda Omer, that Pasuk Rishon is Daraisa, that means that Vahavta is not really the core Kabbalah Salam Alchus Shemayim, or no, Kabbalah Salam Alchus Shemayim is also. And so I think depending on how inclusive you are in what you call Kabbalah Salam Alchus Shemayim, that will determine how narrow or how loosely defined it is.
And why does it have to be exactly all about Kabbalah Salam Alchus Shemayim? The Mishnah makes it sound like the first part is about Kabbalah Salam Alchus Shemayim, and then the second one is Kabbalah's, all mitzvahs. So why do we have to be pinned into this box of Kabbalah Salam Alchus Shemayim instead saying it's like a natural framework of a lot of kolam of yadas?
So I think that's probably what the ambiguity is about, which is that everybody agrees that Shema is meant to be this central animating principle, and so what exactly do you include in that animating principle? How many, it's some of it is almost like semantics. Like the Rambam gives you 13 Ikarim, so Rav Yosef Alba, what does he shorten it down to 3, right? So it's like the Gemara in Makos, there's 613, no, there are 11, no, there are really 3, there's really 1. So I think part of it is just the definition of terms. If a person is Mekabel Olam Alchus Shemayim, means they're committed Oved Hashem, so, of course, they're going to observe mitzvos. So the question becomes, well, do you have to actually verbalize that level of commitment to constitute Kabbalah Salam Alchus Shemayim or not? And that might be really what's underlying the machlokas rishonim about which is Kriyas Shema as Daraisa. Right? What do you say is, okay, the stripped down bare minimum of Kabbalah Salam Alchus Shemayim, is it just saying, God, you're one? And if that's all you said, that's Kabbalah Salam Alchus Shemayim, because everything else is implied in that one statement. It's like the Chavakuk Tzadik Ve'Menosi Yechiyah. Or, no, you have to be more specific. Holech Tomim, Pol Tzedek, Dover Emes Bolvavo.
The problem with something like that is that, for say, with someone like the Rambam,
yeah.
So you're going to have 3 parshas, which are maybe by Diraisa, but he's going to have to explain halachic distinctions between the first parsha, the first pasuk, and the rest of them. So there's still going to be like a hierarchy between the beginning and other parts. So like, I don't know why we're in this box of Kabbalah Zol Malchus Shemayim instead saying that there's like a Kabbalah Zol Malchus Shemayim which is clear in the Parsha and other tenets of fundamental tenets of Jewish life that we're trying to capture in Shema. It's like a fundamental limud, or however you say it, of Jewish values.
Okay, so I think then it's just a question of nomenclature, because even the idea of Kabbalah Zol Malchus Shemayim, right, that's a Chazal term that they invented. That pasuk just says Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's all it says. So first of all, there's actually no Ani Mekabel. Second of all, it's acknowledging the Yichud of Hashem. So the Yichud of Hashem is very significant, and that's obviously the central motif here of the is the Achduso, which is probably meant to, it's like the Yom Echad, it's meant to categorically distinguish the Ribbono Shel Olam from any other theology, philosophy, system of multiple gods, right? That's really what defined that. I don't want to get too far afield from this because I know we're on a short timeline today, which is why I kept it short. You know, if you want to go beyond this, so Avram Avinu, the Chiddush of Avram, is not that there's one God as opposed to two, it's that there's a singular God as opposed to many gods. You could have had one God because one God killed all the other gods. No, it's not that there is a group of gods and one is left standing. There is only one God, which is distinct from a philosophy which thinks that there are multiple gods, which is, that's like the Nekuda HaEmtzos here, which is probably why Yichud Hashem is really at the core of this whole thing, I think. So within that acknowledgement of Yichud Hashem, there are many consequences of that. So the statement Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim can mean different things, right? It can mean most narrowly just acknowledging the Yichud Hashem, but it could also mean the consequences of that. So we could also substitute the words that you used of fundamental tenets of Judaism for Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, right? A person who's declaring Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that declaration, right, implies that they are committed to a certain set of values and beliefs and traditions. So it's not accidental that the Medrash associates that with the children of Yaakov, etc. Okay, so who says this Shtikel Torah from the Shagas Aryeh about the Daraisa and Rabbanan? The Rabbeinu Yonah. In Yud Beis and Beis and the Rif, the Rabbeinu Yonah makes this point. Okay, so running out of time. Rabbeinu Yonah makes this point that, of course, there's a chiyuv d'oraisa to learn b'shach b'chov kumecha. The drabanan is just these specific psukim. So one further nafkamina of this idea that Kriya Shema is a kiyum of Talmud Torah that has a focus of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is the idea of the extended kiyum. So the Kirya Sefer in the first parak in his commentary on the Rambam explains how the Rambam, in his view, thinks that Kriya Shema of all the three parshios is de'oraisa, even though he still thinks you could shtim that with the Gemara that says that you're Mekayim B'Pasuk Rishon. How could it be that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was covering his eyes with Mekayim B'Pasuk Rishon? And that there's, so he assumes there's a Kiyum HaMismashich, there's a Kiyum de'oraisa of the following three parshios. So how do you understand that? So Rabbi Sachs, Rabbi Yonason Sachs, in his Sefer, he brings a bunch of makoros, like the Rishonim about Tkiyas to Meyushev and Tkiyas to Me'umad, and sitting in the Sukkah multiple times, that you don't violate Bal Tosif, you can have multiple fulfillments of the same mitzvah without violating Bal Tosif. But what it seems that the Kiryas Sefer is saying even more than that, which is that because this is a Talmud Torah experience, Sheyesh Bo Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, it could be that the Torah is telling you, these psukim all do that. These psukim all do that. You're only mechuyev to say one of them, but the Torah is magdir this as an expression of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. And therefore, it's not the same as saying one mitzvah two times, three times, tkiyas to Meyushev, tkiyas to Me'umad. It's more than that. It's a kiyum of Talmud Torah, Sheyesh Bo Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. So there's a doraisa chalos on these three parshios. It's not necessary to say more than one, but the Torah gave you the chalos either way. So, to summarize, just this very brief introduction, is that we have a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, which has multiple elements. It's got the Talmud Torah, and it's got the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. The ways that we're suggesting it can explain these different aspects of the fact that it's one mitzvah, that it's B'shach B'chov Kumecha, it's a Kiyam HaMismashich, and it also fits with explaining the Smach Lokas, Daraisa and Darabanan.